Coming up, what does it mean to live in 3D?
You really can have it all, it all, it all, it all, it all, it all. Welcome to Having It All, featuring experts and pioneers in health, wealth, relationships, and spirituality, creating a healthier, wealthier, happier you. And now, here's your host, the Miracle Mama, Marbeth Dunn.
Woohoo! I am so happy you joined me here on Having It All Radio. I am Marbeth Dunn, the Miracle Mama, and a little later on the show, we will have practical mystic Maureen St. Germain, who serves as a messenger for the Ascended Masters and the angelic realm. But first, about 2 years ago, my client, I'll call Tanya, was feeling very stressed and miserable. She confided in me that although she loved her son very much and she wanted to spend time with him, something was blocking her. She just couldn't do it, and she felt very guilty. She worked hard and spent lots of time at home with her daughter, who was autistic with behavioral issues and needed special attention. Tanya knew her son needed her, but she had such huge resistance to giving him the time or affection he needed, she just couldn't do it. I checked in and I told her there was a past life issue with her son that needed to be addressed. She said, "It's funny you say that, because when he was maybe 2 or 3 years old, I would see an image of a little girl standing by a pool of water, but she had Johnny's face." I said, "Tanya, Johnny was that little girl from a previous lifetime. The little girl had drowned, and you felt so much remorse and guilt about her, you couldn't give Johnny the love he needed in this life." I helped her release all the emotional charge from that lifetime, and she immediately felt better. And that night, she went home and spent special time with Johnny and felt good about it. And their relationship is very close, very solid now. But now here's the really cool part of the story. I told you Tanya's daughter was autistic with intense behavioral issues. As soon as we released Tanya's emotional charge from her past life, her daughter's behavior began to change. And now she behaves like a normal 12-year-old girl. It's truly a miracle. It was so astounding. I could hardly believe it was happening. Her daughter is highly empathic, like me, and very sensitive to energy. And as soon as the tension began to resolve itself in her family, she was able to let the autism go. Now, a couple of days ago, this is why I'm bringing it up, I met Tanya's two beautiful kids, and I was so thrilled to see them thriving. I love miracles in action, don't you? And speaking of miracles in action, our guest today is practical mystic Maureen St. Germain, who serves as a messenger for the Ascended Masters and the angelic realm. She practices the Merkaba and is founder of Akashic Records International. She teaches the Akashic Records through your own higher self, and is the author of Beyond the Flower of Life, Be a Genie, Reweaving the Fabric of Your Reality. All these are books, along with dozens of guided meditations and CDs. Welcome, Maureen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be part of this program.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here. And I was also thrilled to spend time with you this weekend. So we are doubly blessed.
Yeah. Really special. I agree. You're very fortunate.
I always love your energy, and you are an amazing woman. You have really just been traveling since 1994, teaching meditation, sacred geometry, manifestation. I don't think you, I think you probably teach about 52 weeks a year.
I did. That's true. I pulled back a few years ago because I was trying to finish a book and spend family time with my new husband.
Hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, well, that's wonderful, you know, and, but you still, you're so dynamic and now you've been writing and writing all these amazing books. So let's talk about the new book, right? Waking Up in 5D. What does that mean?
Well, it means that the reality is changing so dramatically that we humans are stepping into a whole new paradigm. And the paradigm is dramatically different than anything we've ever done before. And because of it, instead of saying the rules have changed, I tell people the game has changed. So essentially, 5D is what I would call the ascended master self, or the version of you that's already plugged into God, loves God so much and so well that the choices you make are always a God choice. And so what happens is you walk around living in joy. Now, you are one of those people who does that already. And as the rest of the humanity catches up, then we can all have that as our new normal. You know, the whole idea of writing this book came because I had been experiencing, like you, so many ahas about what was happening and what was going on. And as I began to work on it, I was given the title, Waking Up in 5D. And it is only in hindsight that I began to understand that we can actually choose to be ahead of the curve, just like when Louise Hay taught us to change the way we think and talk. This book is intended to put you ahead of any of your behaviors so that you would be able to be proactive and help solve things rather than react to what's going on around you. And so you become part of the solution. Pretty amazing.
I love that. I totally love that. And I think it's so important. I think the 5D is analogous to what I call the miracle zone. It's just that close connection to heaven. And it's just so wonderful. And I love that rather than reacting, that we can just go from a more neutral place and solve rather than react. I think that's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
So very cool. So tell me, what happened to 4D?
People always ask that. So 4D, I believe, is a portal. I believe it is the place we go to get where we're really going. I believe that that's fourth dimension is where all the emotions are coming from and are magnified there. And it's an interesting thing. Humans are one of the only species that actually uses memory to recreate an emotion. You know, if someone hurts you, either because, you know, you were lovers and they leave you, or, you know, they stole money from you, whatever it is that they've done to hurt you, that's one thing, that's one experience. But humans replay that. And they tell their story about that over and over. And they re-wound themselves in the process. So one of the things I tell people to help step out of that pattern is tell your he done me wrong story three times. And that's it. Now I realize
I love it.
I'm not suggesting you shouldn't get therapy, but I am suggesting to stop telling it to everybody who comes along. No. Now, the fourth dimension, because it's the zone where the emotions are magnified, it's very fast moving. So when you're in a high state of appreciation or love, or a low state of depression, you're going to be moving much faster energetically, and you will be able to access through consciousness into deeper areas if you're going downward, or upper areas towards the fifth dimension. So it's a nice nexus. I joke around with people here in New York. It's just like Grand Central. Nobody would go there to spend the night.
So when you say that if you're feeling down, you can go a lot deeper, that could probably be very interesting because you could just really pull yourself down.
Indeed. And, you know, think of the movie Where Dreams May Come, where wife of the protagonist could not extract herself from the dark place that she had put herself in. And he came to her many times trying to get her to let go of that. So pretty amazing.
Well, I think ultimately we have to make the choice ourselves. We really can't bring everyone with us. We can show them by love and by example. And if they're open to learning, then that's another story. But I think sometimes people are so resistant, they don't really want to shift.
Well, I call that a place of being, you're really happy that you're miserable. So you're so miserable that you don't want to do anything to get out of it. And I have a tool for that. And the tool is very simple. It's a simple prayer that you say, and believe me, I've been there and I got this from my angels. When I said to them, you know, I don't want to do anything. I'm so mad and I'm so miserable. I'm just not going to do anything, but I need to get out of this place. And they said, ask God to show you how much you are loved.
Ooh, I love that.
So when you're feeling down and out, and I recommend you could do this every day, but certainly when you're feeling down and out and unappreciated or unloved, you're feeling like somebody's, you know, passed you over for whatever reason, you can simply say, dear God, show me how much I am loved. And especially if you're in a depression and you know you're in a depression, you say that every day, and in a very short while, you will no longer be depressed because you will attract situations and circumstances and people who will show you how much you are loved. It's quite fabulous.
Wow. I think we have so much we can talk about tonight because you are so multifaceted, from Akashic Records reading and the five dimension and your other books with the Merkaba and the Genie book. You know, I'm just like in a candy store here. It's like, what are we going to talk about? But let's talk a little bit more about the different dimensions.
Okay. So when we talk about the first three dimensions, we actually have access to those, even though we might not be aware of it. And the first dimension is self-awareness. So think of the time that somebody said to you, oh, you're a wonderful pianist, or, you know, you're an amazing artist. That's self-awareness because you have become aware of yourself. And it usually doesn't happen with an individual becoming self-aware unless they were contemplating for a long time. You know, if you did a Vipassana or something like that. So having someone give you that kind of feedback makes you more aware of your talents and gifts. Second dimension is that point of relationship. So it is the two points and then the contrast between them, which creates a line. It's also what you might think of as a flat piece of paper. One of my students asked to be shown what his most simplified or earliest expression in matter. And he saw himself like the Queen of Hearts in the Alice in Wonderland movie, where, you know, it would move back and forth from the corners of the playing card. So it's possible to have movement in that dimension. We don't think of it that way normally because we're so busy being in 3D. I've been told by my guides that 3D is a projection. And what that means is we're pulling the information in from other places and then living here as if it's the real thing. So imagine that we are sitting in a movie theater and we're watching a movie and then suddenly we're in the movie. It's like that. We are the movie that we are watching. And one of the tools of manifestation and one of the tools of healing that I know you use is this whole idea of allowing yourself to look at yourself and to recognize that it's just a game or it's just a movie. And if you're at the projection room, you can change the projection. So that's third dimension. Fourth dimension is this very fluid place. I think of it, you know, think of how busy Grand, if you've ever been in Grand Central, it is such a busy place. It's like the busiest airport you've ever been in. Movement in all directions and noise and announcements, just on and on. And think also of a tornado or quicksand or a sinkhole like they have in Florida, where you are either going down and down and down, or you are going up and up and up. Now, when you go up, you can move into 5D. Now, I believe that a lot of people, practically 70% of my audience, 70 to 80% of my audiences have already been in 5D. And the proof of it is when you come home and you set, you know, it's summertime in North America. So let's say you are coming in and you put your sunglasses down and you think, well, let me put them away. So you put them away in a drawer. Then you go and do something. And then you think, you know what, I think I better go back out. So you go back to the drawer to grab your sunglasses and they're not there.
And oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That has happened to me so many times.
A few minutes, you know, looking around. And then you think, oh, I'll just get the spare. I'm not going to fool around. So you go and get the spare and you put them on and you go back. You go out. Now you have a lovely time when you're out. You come in this wonderful place, the same way you came in before, in this yummy space because you were outside and the weather was nice and you were getting sunshine. And then you open the drawer to put away the sunglasses and they're the original pair. And you think to yourself, I tore everything out of this drawer. How can they be here? And I had one of those moments today. I was on a plane flying from San Diego to New York, and I had put my laptop in the outside pouch of my carry-on, and I was planning on unzipping that and grabbing it and putting it in my seat. And I was in a really good place all day, packing and getting ready. And I unzipped my suitcase in that spot, and all I saw was gray. And I looked at that, and I thought, how can that be? You know, I was the last person in the suitcase.
And I know how that can be. I know you do.
Maybe my husband was there. I don't know. And then I kind of looked away and just thought about something else and looked down, and there was the red pouch that I have my laptop in. And everything was fine. And I didn't get upset or worried or anything, but I thought, oh, that's really interesting. And that's one of the responses. And I'll talk more about that and that proactive way to talk and the proactive way to be. It's wonderful.
That is so awesome. I remember that happening to, well, it happens to me pretty often. It just happened to me yesterday because I had a little a tube of perfume in my purse. Uh-huh. And I knew it was there. And then it wasn't. And I looked for it yesterday. And there, of course, today it was. There it was.
Right, so, where it was supposed to be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, I teach people how to connect with the higher self and get 100% accuracy. So I initially, and this goes back probably to 1995, I initially, when things started disappearing, I asked, you know, where's my stuff? And I was being told, you know, it's in a higher dimension. Well, that was all well and good. And, you know, like any typical mom, if you know something's missing, you tell the kids, put it back. I want it back. So then it would show up. And then one day, one of my sons came in, threw his backpack on the floor and came in the kitchen, tells me this big story. And then he says, here, I'll show you. And he goes back out to his backpack and reaches in for the thing he had just put in. And I saw him put it in there. And it wasn't there. And he gets this wild look on his face. Now, I'm kind of in the closet as far as admitting these stories. You know, that's just like 25 years ago, right?
And, yeah.
But, you know, I was in my own home with my own son. And I didn't even think about, you know, not being comfortable. And I said, oh, honey, it's probably in a higher dimension. We'll just ask for it to come back. You come back in the kitchen and finish your story, and then you can go look for it. By this time, he's had everything out of his backpack, puts it all back, comes in, finishes his story, and then I said, okay, now go look. Right where it was put, right where he was expecting it, that fast. And that's how you know. And everybody that this happens to, that's proof positive, because my higher self told me my stuff was in a higher dimension.
Sure.
Now, initially, initially I thought, oh, that must mean we're getting ready to move to higher dimensions. And my, you know, it's like practice, it's a dry run. My stuff is going there ahead of me.
Sure.
Never occurred to me when my higher self said to me, Maureen, you were in the higher dimension when you put it down.
That's right. You were. We'll be back in just a moment with more amazing dimensional stories with Maureen St. Germain. Is the daily grind getting you down? How would you like to trade in your stress and struggle for peace, love, abundance, and joy? I'm Marbeth Dunn, the Miracle Mama. Even if you are struggling in your relationships, health, or peace of mind, you can have it all. Don't waste another day. Learn my simple secrets to eliminate stress and struggle in my free report, 7 Easy Steps to Harness the Power of Miracles. Go to miracles101.com. to get your free report today. That's miracles101.com. And we are back. And wow, Maureen, I love that. But we do go into other dimensions. And when you had told me about this several years ago, And it made so much sense to me because things would appear and disappear. So I think it must happen when we are feeling really good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Yummy place.
So really connected to heaven. So how did you come to teach about working with the ascension? Tell me about that.
This was an outcome of working with the famous meditation called the Merkaba. I taught this for almost 20 years, and I began teaching while I was still working in the corporate world. And then after about 5 years, I made the leap and went full time. And then I was invited all over the world, and my books have been translated into a number of languages because of it. And so as my reputation grew, I was diving deeper and deeper. And one of the things that I do know is that this meditation called the Merkaba, that is based on the sacred geometry of the star tetrahedron, is probably one of the most powerful tools on the planet. Because with this tool, I was able to connect with my own divine self, learn how to teach other people how to connect with their higher self, learn more and more about the ascension and what it meant, and have these amazing experiences that allowed me to take the students even higher. I would say to the students every week, you know, because as you said earlier in the show, you know, for many years I was, you know, in a different city 50 weeks out of the year. And I would tell the students, you know, this class is riding on the shoulders of last week's class, and next week's class will ride on your shoulders. Because each class, I would be able to incorporate what the students had asked and what I had been able to channel to give as answers. And then the following week, with that new information, the students asked even higher questions. So it literally grew like a tree.
I love it. Well, and that, excuse me, that's the way it happens, you know, as we love what we do and we expand into it, it keeps expanding. So tell me, what can we do? what do you suggest that we do to go into 5D?
One of the fastest and easiest ways, and I would like to repeat this at the end as well, is to say a little prayer. And in fact, I'll save it for the end. So you got to give me like a minute to explain this prayer.
Okay.
But this was an experience that I had. And it started out with me meeting up with someone, getting off the plane from an overnight flight. And I said to the woman who greeted me, because I was flying every week, the staff knew me by name. Oh, hi, Maureen. How you doing? And I said, oh, I'm doing pretty good, but this is my day from blank. I'm not going to say the word, because I have to be back here in a couple hours to fly to the East Coast. And I had chosen that particular schedule with a purpose, because I had wanted to have time with family on the West Coast when I was teaching there. So I come home to an inch of water on my basement floor. I can hear water running. We can't find any faucets that are open, and decide that it must be a water leak. So I called my neighbor, who came over. I turned off the water. We called the repairman. He said he'd be there in an hour, and he came in an hour. And he asked me where to drill. He wanted to start in the upstairs bathroom, and my higher self said, no, the downstairs bathroom. Well, where? And I showed him where. He drilled a little bit different, but it was exactly where my higher self said. There was a tiny, tiny little leak in the pipe that was causing this major flood. And so the bill was like only $100. My neighbor stayed and watched the plumber while I changed out my suitcase, did a mailing. And then after everybody left, I ran to the bank. On my way back from the bank, walking in the house, the landline rings, and it's the airline saying, the two feeder flights we have into Chicago are running an hour late, both of them. And we know that you're on the later one, because I had already moved my flight. And oh, by the way, the airline had graciously waived the change fee because of my emergency. And so they said, there's no way you're going to make your connections on the East Coast. Is there any way you can make the earlier flight, which is now running an hour later? And I remember thinking on my drive back home from the bank, you know, I really only needed about an extra hour and I would have been able to pull this off. And so here I am. I'm getting on my original flight. They're running an hour late. I made all my connections to my original plan. And I get on the plane and I sit there and I say to myself, what caused this? And the answer was, well, when you said the bad word to the agent, kind of in jest about, you know, a rough night, let's say, you were embarrassed because you don't talk that way. And you said, I'm having a day of heaven on earth because I'm flying with United. So I thought, whoa, I can do that the next time I have a very full schedule. And the next time I did it, I thought, you know what? I can do this every day. And I do. And I recommend your listeners do as well. And it's a simple prayer where you just say, I'm asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I come in contact with.
Ooh, I love it.
That's one way. Another way to get into 5D is to be proactive with your language. And this is a very interesting concept. A lot of people let those kinds of words slip into their language. It's especially true, you know, if you're around someone who's using that language, and it kind of slips into your own language inadvertently. So, you know, obviously you want to avoid four-letter words or profanity of any kind, because they carry the energy of all the other people who said those words and meant it, you know, even if you're just doing it in a lighthearted way. So I recommend, you know, eliminating that from your choices, and not to be a goody two-shoes, but just to know that it lowers your vibration.
Makes sense.
And then you can be proactive with your choice of words that have to do with polarity. So I tell people, you know, eliminate the to die for sentence. Just give that up and say to live for. And you've often heard people say that. But also then, instead of saying something is good or bad, say it is interesting, or that's not a match for me. You know, when you don't want to do something, or you don't like something, or it's not working for you, you can say, well, that doesn't work for me, or that's not a match. You don't have to label it as good or bad. And that's another way to stay out of polarity. You're simply announcing, well, that's, you know, it's dominoes here, and that one's not a match, so I'm going to pass on it.
I love it. I love it. That's so great. Yes. Moving into a neutral place out of polarity.
Yeah, there's a whole list in that book, Waking Up in 5D. And then there's a lot of other ways that I talk about that have to do with meditation, that have to do with diet. The book has a very big section on a new Merkaba meditation that was brought to me by someone else. I did not write this, but it was so evident that I need, it was very synchronistic because the woman who had been incubating it for a number of years had been given it by another lady. And that lady apparently had brought it through a channel of some sort. And so she's incubating. One day she sends me an email, and you get tons of emails. I get tons of emails. But that email had neon lights all around it. And so I open it up, I read it, and I called the woman on the spot. And I said, we have to set a date. You know, it was like there's an urgency. So 6 months down the road, when my schedule is opened, she books a flight with me to come to Seattle, where I was living at the time, part-time, and teach there. And then later that year, we taught it in New York. And I was blown away. My students were blown away.
I was blown away. You gave that to me, and it knocked me out for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing that happens with this, especially the first time you do it. It's almost like you've been waiting for this recalibration, kind of like when your computer says, you know, we've been waiting to do this update, and you keep putting it off. Finally, you say, okay, fine, do it. And you're thinking maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and your computer's out of phase for like 3 hours till you get it back. And that's, you are one of about 50 people that have reported back to me that they were out like a light for 3 hours.
It's amazing. Now, it didn't happen any other time that I've done it.
Yeah.
But that first time, gone. I was just gone. I don't know where I went. But
you've had the ability to have that, because some people, you know, if they sit down and think they're just going to do it and then go do something else because they've got a schedule or something, it's a lot tougher for them to get that benefit. But if you have the ability to sit and, you know, if it puts you out for a couple hours, great. Because you're really literally getting recalibrated. And think of all the cool stuff. And think again, like, of all of our apps that we have. You know, you think about a phone. And, you know, when they update the software, all the apps then have to get updated. And so everything is like this chain reaction, you know, of this giant dominoes game that can inspire change at every level. And it's change that you're ready to make. It was just waiting for the, like, plugins to make it all work.
Well, definitely. I can't say that. I'm sorry it happened. I think it's been really very, very positive, and I'm feeling good, feeling really wonderful.
The thing that's part of the 5D, the new 5D matrix, is that women are being asked to lead, not to dominate men, but to be the leaders. And there's a wonderful prayer in the Beyond the Flower of Life book, and it's the Divine Feminine Prayer, and it goes like this. I ask that the Divine Feminine speak through me this day. I ask permission for the Divine Feminine to reside here in the physical, in my body. Let all aspects of the Divine Feminine be anchored here in my body so that I am expressing the fullness of the Divine Feminine through me this day. Now, what happens when you do it every day? It changes who you are, and you get access to the Divine Feminine. You know, and I know I was a single mom for the last 10 years that my kids were home, and I worried that they weren't going to get what they needed. I worried that they weren't going to get, you know, whatever they needed. I just didn't know if I would be good enough by myself, because I had a great admiration for my husband. And, you know, in many ways, he was a better, more empathic at the time than I was. And I needed to be able to integrate that. And I relied on him to alert me when I was too rigid or too desiring of things happening a certain way. And now, you know, I'm faced with being a single parent and worried that I'm the only one that is gonna help the boys. And, you know, their father gets to go on play dates with them, and I have to be one of the homework and all that jazz. So, you know, it was a very interesting challenge. And I asked the Divine Mother to overshadow me every day so that no matter what, I would be in alignment with the highest good of what was needed in the moment.
Well, I think that's awesome, because being a single parent is so challenging. was not a single parent, and it was challenging.
Yeah, you were half a single parent, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, we want to do the best that we can for our children. And so if we can be guided by that divine feminine, that would be wonderful. We have a caller on the line. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Good evening.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. This has been resonating with me. It's been so informational. I'm taking notes. So much of what you're saying is just in so much of alignment of what's going on with me right now. So it's wonderful to hear that other people have the same things going on. And I'm always wondering, is it me?
So you had some questions for Maureen?
I guess. I was just wanting to know more about, what sounds like a lot of the things that were happening to you. How did you discern that it wasn't just pure coincidence and realizing that it was you were in the fifth dimension? Because I have a lot of, as you can tell, I have a lot of energy. I knocked my phone calls off. But I've lost this constant spinning in my head. I'm dizzy all the time. I blow out light bulbs. My boss has known me a really long time and knows that I'm also a light worker. So I'm very interested in learning more about the fifth dimension.
Okay, so first of all, I developed a protocol that gives you 100% accuracy. So the way I would know that the information that I'm getting in my head is coming from my higher self, as I would ask, is this my higher self telling me X, Y, Z? So we first would have to go through the protocol of the higher self. Now, lots of light workers have a good connection. And what I tell people is it's okay to have a good connection. And it's wonderful if you rely on it. But if you're not relying on it 100% of the time, you do not have 100% accuracy. It means you don't trust it some of the time, and you let your mind overrule. And then in hindsight, you could say, gosh, that one time when I didn't follow my guidance, blah, blah, blah happened. And here's the rub. When you do this practice, when you do this protocol, and Marbeth, it's up to you if you want me to call it out on the phone. I'll be happy to teach it, but it's your call.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, but first let me explain that when you do this work, what happens is you have the opportunity to move into your joy and to move into a place of accuracy that you could literally follow a semi, which I was told to do at one point, and avoid being hit head on by a car in the wrong place, going the wrong direction. So I want to be clear about one more thing, and that is, even if you think you have a good higher self connection, what I have found is that when you take on this practice, your accuracy improves dramatically. Number two, you stop wondering and stop second guessing yourself because you're doing your due diligence first and then you're asking your higher self. So you're going to buy a house or a car, you do all the research, and then you ask your higher self. Okay. And so the protocol is like this. We would go through a guided meditation. So everyone close your eyes for a few seconds and allow yourself to remember a time when you've held a beloved infant or pet in your arms. It does not even have to be your own pet. And this little one is a sweet thing, and you hear yourself say to this little one, I love you, and say it three times in your thought. And as you do, you can feel, if you feel anything, you will feel your chest expand. That's what it feels like when your heart chakra opens. Now we've got a bigger ball of light in our chest because our heart chakra is spinning and open. And we send this beam of light up the pranic tube, which sits in front of the spine. And this tube of light normally is the length of your middle finger to your thumb in circumference, but you can make it wider. And so you can make it wider by sending this ball of light up your pranic tube, past your throat chakra, your third eye, your crown chakra, and you're all the way up to your eighth chakra, where the portal to your higher self exists. Now we invite the higher self to join you in your heart. And we ask your higher self to increase your connection with your divine self. We ask your higher self to help you get better at this connection and the communication between you. And to that end, we're now going to ask the higher self, give me a symbol for yes. It might be a color. You might get an itchy ear. It might be a sound or a metallic taste in your mouth. You might feel like wind brushing past you, or you might have an image like a thumbs up. Higher self, give me my symbol or signal for no. And you could actually hear the word no, or you might see a color or a shape or both, or, you know, a tinge in your belly. Higher self, give me my symbol or signal for neutral. Now, we give thanks to the higher self and take a moment and write it down. Once you've written it down, you are to follow the 7 rules, which I'm going to give you right now. And the 7 rules are based upon what I will call a protocol that you will follow. And the first part of the protocol is you are to pick a period of time. Now, since we're in the middle of the month, you would go to the end of the next month. So, you know, I don't know when the show airs. If it's airing live, of course, we're on live. So that would mean it would be around September 3rd. Or after the Labor Day holiday. So from now until September 3rd, you are to practice these things that I'm going to give you. This is a playtime. So we call this your practice period. And you treat your practice period like practice. And think of how little kids play checkers or the game of sorry. They never keep score, and you may not keep score either. You are only to ask yes or no questions, no open-ended questions. You ask only unimportant questions, questions that you are willing to take the route either way. So if you're looking in your refrigerator about what to fix for dinner tonight, there's green beans and there's broccoli. You ask higher self, should I cook the green beans? No. The broccoli? Yes. Yeah, but the green beans are older. Nope, go for the broccoli. So you cook the broccoli and someone comes to the door and it turns out there's plenty of food, especially broccoli, which they happen to love. Some nice synchronicities start to happen. The next rule is you always follow through. So if you ask about the green beans and the broccoli, and then you decide, well, you know, the green beans are going to get old, you don't do that. You let that be. And if you're not willing to do something, then don't ask your higher self. Just do it. You know, I joke around, if you're looking at the bonbons and they're looking pretty good, don't ask your higher self. Just have one. Only ask about things you don't care about, because this is a game. This is not meant to be keeping score. So then the next thing is no important questions. And if you absolutely cannot put off asking an important question because of a scheduling issue or some other reason, go ahead and ask your higher self. But make those important questions the exception. So you're clearly telling the universe, I'm only doing playful stuff. And do not ask predictive questions like, will the light change before I get to it, or will it rain today? Instead, you can ask the last question, higher self, is it my highest and best good to carry an umbrella today? And then the last rule is you may not use any other form of divination. So you can put away your pendulum, no muscle testing, no kinesiology, none of it. Now, if you're a therapist and you're using it with your client, fine. But don't use it for yourself. And follow these hard and fast with diligence. At the end of 45 days, you will have 100% accuracy.
And then anytime you get an intuitive hit of any kind, when your higher self, when you get that intuitive hit, you can say, higher self, is this my higher self telling me blah, blah, blah? Only your higher self is allowed to answer yes. So that's the benefit of putting in, you know, this 45-day practice, because it will give you a tool. It will amp up your game. It tells the higher self you're serious about learning because you're willing to spend time practicing. And I will never forget the time a woman came into a classroom with me the day after we taught this. And you know how women love clothes and jewelry and such. And so the second woman was looking at the first woman and kind of, you know, just taking it all in. And the first woman noticed her eyeballing her and said, "Don't even ask. My higher self dressed me this morning." And of course, everybody cracked up.
That's
because
hilarious.
There was, you know,
that's
some wacky
wonderful.
Combination. Yeah. So, yes. You know, if you're willing to be playful, then you do that and let it be okay. And you're not to judge it. You're not to make it right or wrong. And see, the thing about this game is that over the course of the 45 days, your ego, which is accustomed to making the decisions, is watching, but not watching that closely because it's not about stuff you care about. Now, remember, we use our egos to make decisions all the time, and we're always using the past to help us to see or understand what we're to do next. So even the ego is using the past to predict the future, to help us decide what to do.
Sure.
So after the 6 weeks, you now have a new data set that shows that the higher self has always got the goods. Kind of like me saying, well, you know, I've been winning a lot at the races. You know, last month I won $3,000 and 2 weeks ago I won $5,000 and last week I won $6,000. You want to go with me to the races? Well, of course you're going to go. And of course you're going to bet what I bet. And so your higher self becomes your new best friend. And this is why I say to people, do your due diligence. Check around at all the cars you're going to look at, test drive them all, and then walk away and ask your higher self. And your higher self will give you the best answer, even if it feels like, even if your mind tells you it's counterintuitive. And I'll give you an example, a really big one. When I met my darling husband 7 years ago, my first thought was he was geographically undesirable. My second thought was my higher self came in and said, "Aren't you going to check in?" And step by step, my higher self pushed me into this relationship. And, it, you know, in the early years, my husband would, you know, try to take up a discussion with me about something he thought I should be doing or shouldn't be doing, whatever the case may be. And, you know, I would smile at him and I would laugh and I'd say, but I already asked my higher self. From my vantage point, the higher self has the last word. That's my choice. I have free will. I don't have to follow my higher self. You can also think of your higher self as a resource, like you're the president of the company and your higher self is the treasurer. And when you ask the treasurer, "Can I write a check for $20,000 to pay off that balloon note that's due next week because I'm having lunch with this banker tomorrow?" And the treasurer says to you, "Yes, I can get a check to you, you know, later today and you can sign it and take it with you tomorrow." Did the treasurer give you permission to have that check? No. The treasurer gave you information that you chose to use. And that's what your higher self is. It's a resource. And your higher self knows stuff you don't know. And that's
all
what
day.
You want.
Maureen, I love what you're saying, but we're running short on time. Oh my goodness. I want to tell everybody that you can learn more about the amazing Maureen St. Germain on havingitallradio.com. She has her own show page with her website, information about her books, her social media, and how to contact her. So we definitely want to make sure to add that. And also next week on Having It All, we have Dr. Ellie Zarabian, third generation shamanic healer, Sufi, and founder of the Centerpiece Foundation, a center to help people live a better, more peaceful life by resolving conflict that begins within the self and extends out into the world. I love that what you're teaching, Maureen. I hate to interrupt you, you know.
And I love you. I knew it was going to take us a while. Yeah, no worries.
I know, but what great information. And I think that's a wonderful way. You know, I know that everybody is going to be very inspired to learn how to always get 100% accuracy from your higher self. How cool is that? So we are winding down, but I would love you to share a last bit of wisdom, and also want to talk about, go get her books. They are great.
Yeah, the book Be a Genie is easily available, Kindle, Amazon, lots of websites. I have lots of guided meditation CDs, lots of products to support you and your spiritual growth.
And your new book, Waking Up in 5D, will be, you're taking orders now, right?
Yes, you can pre-order it on Amazon, and it will probably ship by the end of August, early September.
All that information will be on the show page also. But what last bit of wisdom would you like to share with us?
I want to remind each and every one of you that the way to achieve 5D mastery every day is to do a simple prayer when you're getting ready for work or ready for your day. Dear God, I'm asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I come in contact with. And it will literally change the vibration of everything that's going on.
Yes, that's beautiful. And I find also the way when we bless other people, we bless ourselves. It's just the more that we serve other people, giving and receiving are basically the same. So we definitely receive every time we give. So that's really beautiful. Thank you so much, Maureen. I love you, and I'm so glad that you were able to come on the show again. It's been a while. So
my pleasure. Thanks. My pleasure.
Yeah. So this has been wonderful, and I think that your work is very profound, and lots and lots and lots to learn. So thank you again, and be blessed.
Join Marbeth next week on Having It All. Visit havingitallradio.com to learn more about Marbeth Dunn and her special guests. And be sure to download your free report.